You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here today. Good morning. It's good to be with you guys today. What a week. Am I right? And I feel like from like last Saturday till now, and probably for a while, you know, Dayton's been like this, gripping the steering wheel of life, like my mom on the freeway. It was what it reminds me of. Just like a little bit afraid, because you don't know what's coming. You don't know what's next, and you feel like you're surrounded by things that are completely out of your control and are overwhelming. And in situations like this, man, Ryan talked about big faith. Sometimes big faith's all you got, because you know, a tornado just took everything. And in situations like that, it's perfectly spiritual and biblical to go, God, what? And people in the scriptures do it all the time. So if you're in a place like me where you're going, God, what is going on? God, I'm upset about this. I'm angry about this. God, this hurts. You're in a good place. It's okay to have those questions. It's okay to have those doubts, because that's what makes our faith strong. It's when you work through those and you see God move. And walking down some of our streets in the Dayton area this week, you know, I've never seen anything like this, and I think a lot of you haven't either. It's traumatizing. It's haunting. And I haven't been fortunate that nothing's really happened to me or my family. And it haunts me. And so walking down these streets this week, I'm like, where's the hope at? You know, where do we go from here? How do we pick up? Because we went out and Wednesday we helped out this lady, and you do all this work and you're like, man, I feel like I'm not putting a dent into anything. But there was this moment on Tuesday night that God reminded me of, and we met this little kid. I think his name was Chris. I cannot remember it. I'm terrible at names. I should be better. This is my job, to basically remember all you's names. I'm terrible at it. And this kid was passing out water up on Denlinger. How do you say that? Denlinger? Denlinger, thank you. I'm like murdering it this week, just butchering that name. He's up passing out water, 10-year-old kid. And I'm like, okay, dude, like, are you out here with your family? Like, are you out here with your church? He's like, no. I just saw that they were passing out water and I wanted to help. And he's running up and down the street. I need more water. I need more water to pass out. This little dude. And I'm like, man, that's what it is all about. He has no obligation to be here. He has no agenda. I saw a lot of people, you know, it's easy to have an agenda during these kind of things. But he's just love and passion and care for his neighbors, for people he doesn't even know. And I'm like, I want that. I want that energy. I want that to be a part of my life. And so that's a moment that gave me hope this week. Because we're going to have Josh and Beth and Matt Gaines come up and share a moment of hope from this week. These are three people that helped us out yesterday. Josh led up our team that went to Trotwood and helped Miss Robin out, if you saw that on Facebook. And the Gaines were out with us as well. The Gaines, Dignand, is a part of that Boy Scout troop, correct? Uh-huh. And you help out quite a bit. There was like 45 Boy Scouts out there with us, as well as Cub Scouts. I'm sorry, I'm not good with the terminology. I'm just like, help me, thank you. And then there were about 40 of us that came out with Josh. It was incredible to see that. And what I want you guys to do is just share with us a moment that inspired you, something that gave you hope in this situation. Because when we see all the destruction and all the devastation on the news, because that's what's eye-catching, it's tough to remember that there are good things that God's bringing out of this, that there are hopeful things. And so, Matt, was there a moment like that for you this week?
So you see the pictures, but you don't get the feel for the enormity of it until you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're working, and we were at that house, Miss Robin's house, and then there were groups. I mean, just groups of people just showing up everywhere around there to help clean. People that didn't know anyone there just showing up, hey, do you need something? No, well, I'm good. Do you need something? You know, it was moving. And we were taking a little lunch break, and I just happened to open my Facebook page, and it was something I guess I had shared 3 years ago, where some song lyrics said, what if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights are your mercies in disguise? And with all the stuff that had been going on, I mean, we had a Klan rally in our town, you know, and there was so much, there was tension from that, even amongst people who were against them, you know, tension between them, about how we should respond. And then almost immediately after that, you know, the half our town gets leveled. And to take some more words from a movie, you know, when we pray for peace, does God give us peace, or does he give us the opportunity to be peaceful? Mm. When we pray for courage, does he give us courage or the opportunity to be courageous? Mm. If we pray for his love to come down on our city, does he just pour out love, or does he give us his body the opportunity to love? Mm-hmm. And
that's good, man. Preach it, baby.
And it floored me just seeing it didn't matter, you know, age, color, sex, race, it didn't matter. Yeah. We were all people working together because we were all one.
Yeah.
And that's what really moved me the most.
That's cool. That's powerful. Beth, was there a moment like that for you as well?
Well, I have a little list as he's talking about all the different groups. I had to write it down. There were so many people working together. One of the things that moved me was West Carrollton Nazarene came out. Washington Heights was helping. We had Target Dayton working with us. We had Crossroads Church and, of course, Troop 236 and PAC 236, and that was really moving. But the moment that really moved me was a kid from Troop 236, pretty young. He said he had only been in the troop about 6 months. He wasn't even a tenderfoot, which is like the first rank you move up from. And so he came out probably about 13, and he hustled. He worked harder than some of the other people. His peers were probably, you know, some of the Cub Scouts, some of the little kids, and they were done after 2 hours. They were like, Mom, can we go home? We're tired, Mom. And this kid just kept going. He took a lunch break, went right back, kept going, said, where can I help next? What do I do next? He was just all hustle, and that really just impressed me.
Yeah, you get to see, in situations like this, you get to see things in, like, kids that make you go, oh, man, like, I've been doing it all wrong. Like, they have something to teach me. And, man, that's so cool. Like, Josh, do you have a moment that was like that?
So despite all the destruction, there were multiple cities that were hit, but we were specifically out in Trotwood. And there was Trotwood, Clayton, Miamisburg, Moraine, and West Carrollton. They all sent their trucks, their dump trucks, to Trotwood to clean up. Mm-hmm. At a time when lines divide us, we're all going together for a common cause. Mm-hmm. These people desire community. They're still smiling. They're laughing. That's all they can do. They've lost everything. The guy we were helping out, he's sleeping in his garage because he doesn't have any power to keep his home safe because the door's open. Mm-hmm. But despite through all that, they're still laughing. They're smiling. He told a joke. Well, he was talking about how he always wanted to go down to his neighbor's house because they got really nice patio furniture. Well, now he's got his neighbor's patio furniture on his house. So, but these people desire community. That's what Shelter Community Church is about. And thank you guys for coming out yesterday and putting your hands out to those in need.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it has been really inspiring to me. You know, when we were out, we saw like 10 to 15 people drive by in a couple hours and say, what do you need? What do you need? We have water. You know, just people you don't even know. And seeing people unite like that has been inspiring. Seeing our church unite like that has made me go, yeah, like that's what it's all about. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for doing that. Thank you guys for coming up and sharing. Thank you guys. Give them a hand. Yeah. Yeah, because in a time like this, we need hope. We need faith to help us when we don't see the end result. You know, because I was walking through places and I'm like, what's it going to be like in a year? What's it going to be like in 5 years? You know, like where will we be at, and what will the scars still be? But what will be different? What will be better because of it? You know, who's going to get a new house through this via their insurance or whatever that they needed? I don't know. But I see God working in ways not to bring disaster, but to take disaster and bring good out of it. Amen. And that's our God, man. And that is such a powerful thing that I think we have to remind ourselves amidst all of the tension and the destruction and the trauma. And speaking of faith and speaking of a faith that we need to help us get through uncertain situations, we've been in this series called Road Trip. And we've been talking about what faith is. And faith is that trust or that confidence that you put into somebody else to do something unconventional, to go somewhere unfamiliar, and to be able to experience something that you never could have before. And we've been talking about how road trips are a lot like that. Because, you know, you set out for a destination unknown. And you have to trust other people to get you there. And I don't know if you've ever taken a road trip where you're the passenger. Terrifying, right? A little bit. Especially for those of you who like control a little bit too much. And you're driving with somebody who doesn't quite know where they're going. You ever been in that situation? This is not me, because I'm the one who doesn't know where I'm going, okay? I have this complex where I'm like, I've been there once, so I should be able to figure out where to go. So On our recent road trip, I was like, you know, driving all over Maine, and I would miss my turn and be like, shoot. And I think I turned around in one trip, like I had to turn around 4 times because I just refused to use the GPS. Why? Pride. Because I know where I'm going, you know? It's scary to put your faith in somebody else that they know where they're going. And there was a situation where my family and I, we went down on our family vacation to Carter Caves in Kentucky. I don't know if any of you have ever been there or ever heard of it. Nice little state park, quiet, quaint. So we're in the back hills of Kentucky, and we went to the other side of the park one day. And I don't know if you know this, but we used to not have Google Maps. We used to have, like, to use actual maps. Like, folks, I don't know how you guys did it. Back when you guys had to use actual maps, I don't know. I barely get anywhere with Google Maps. I have no idea how. Like, I'm like, I open up the map and I'm like, okay, when's it gonna speak? Like, when's it gonna zoom in on my current location? You know, I look at maps and I go, how? How do you guys do it? So props to y'all who navigated that before. But we used to have these things called like GPSs, like the Garmin. Do you guys used to have these? We had one of these on our trip. These black electronic bricks that you would somehow attach to your windshield, and it would not block your view somehow. I don't know how it all worked. I was 12 at the time. And so we used that to get around down here in Kentucky. And we're going on this back road, Sutton Road, beautiful. And the last piece of civilization that I remember is there was this Sutton Road gospel sing that was happening, and people were getting out and having a little gospel get together. That was the last thing I remember before we just hit nothing but trees and empty kind of wilderness, no civilization. And I wasn't very nervous about that until the road turned from asphalt to gravel. And then I was like, suspicious, you know, maybe we'll make it, but I'm 12, I'm chill. You know, it's not my responsibility. It wasn't until that the gravel turned to dirt that I really got nervous. And then I think the moment that really did it in was my dad slamming on the brakes before we hit the creek bed that the road just turned into. And of course, you know, the Garmin's like, continue on Sutton Road. Like, just oblivious to our current situation. Completely oblivious. I don't know if we didn't update it. I don't know if they were gonna make a road and they said they make a road, but they didn't make a road. Whatever it was, I'm stuck with my family. And I don't know if this is true for your family, but road trips bring out the worst in all of my family. no more tense situations to the Dupler family than a road trip. We all wanted nothing more than to get out of there. And we did. You know, I am alive today because of it. You know, thank you, God. Got out of there. But when I was thinking about this series and this week, I thought about the fact that, you know, if the thing that you're taking your cues from, if the thing you're getting your directions from doesn't know where you're going, you're never going to get to your destination. And we're talking about big faith, and for the next 5 weeks, we're going to be talking about five things that help you, like, put your faith into action. And the first thing is practical teaching. And no matter who you take your cues from or who you get your direction from, if they don't know how to get you to your destination, no matter how much of an expert they are, they won't get you there. It doesn't matter how much the Garmin knows about the world. If its directions are wrong, it can't get us to the destination. And I think sometimes in my life, I take my cues or I get my direction from people who cannot help me make it to my destination, okay? Now stay with me here, because like it's like this. I've got my friends, right? And they're like, dude, you need to go out and get this newfangled thing that I've got. You need to go out and get the iPhone 10. Man, why you got that stinking Android thing? Like, come on, man. Like, Android, you know? Get an Apple, get the new Apple phone. Come on, man. Or, you know, like, you know, man, why are you not playing Fortnite all the time with us, folks? Come on. Get on there. And, you know, I'm like, I get stressed out. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're right. I do need that new iPhone 10. But then I'm like, yo, like, this person's living in their parents' basement. Like, they can't help me get to my destination. Like, they can't. That's not advice for me. You know, I don't need to follow them. And I think that, like, sometimes we end up taking direction from people who can't help us live our life, you know? And they stress us out, and we're like, yeah, I should do that. And then you're like, whoa, like, they're not even living the life that I want. And I think, you know, whether it comes to parenting or career choices, we just automatically follow the people that we're surrounded by. And they're not always the people that can help us get to our destination. And so if we are going to live a life of faith, or if we're going to change our lives at all, we have to be intentional about who we get our teaching from, who we get our direction from, who we're taking our cues from. And I don't know where you're at in life. I don't know if you're like our family on Sutton Road, almost in a creek bed. You feel stuck in some part of your life. You feel lied to. You know, you put your faith in this relationship. You put your faith in this career path. You put your faith in some kind of choice of yours. And you followed it. You followed the advice of your friends, of your family, of your loved ones, of your mentors, of your professors, and it didn't pan out. And now you're stuck in a bad situation. Whether it's your fault or not, you're like, I need to get out of this place. And, you know, folks, I am like barely a pastor, so I am not going to give you like career advice or like, here's how to fix your life. I have no idea. No idea. I barely know how to do this, okay? So today, I want to help us think through how do we intentionally choose our teaching for our spiritual life or for our faith. I think it's important, no matter what you want to change in your life, that you choose who teaches you. I remember being a little kid and like trying to lift weights, and I was doing it all wrong. And it doesn't matter if you go to the gym every day. If you just throw weights around, it won't make you stronger. You need someone to train you to help you change your life. And the same thing is true for faith. If someone isn't helping you put your faith into action, it's not really worth it. It's not going to really do anything. If someone's just giving you a bunch of opinions that don't actually lead to action, why even come here, right? And sometimes I think when it comes to our beliefs or our faith, we don't really put much time or attention into who we're getting those from. And we don't really think about that. And that concerns me because I think that, like, that's important for, if you want to follow Christ, you got to make sure that the person you're following, like me up here, is following Christ. Because if I'm not following Christ, I can't help you follow Christ. If I'm just up here telling you what I think, I'm just going to help you think like me. And do not think like me. That's terrible. It's terrible for you. That's not what this is about, you know? And, you know, I look at the people in Scripture, you know, the disciples and the people who started the church. They were not experts on their own, folks. We heard a story, like last week we talked about how Jesus picked up these two fishermen on, like right after they clocked out from work. And he said, come on this road trip with me for 3 years and be my disciples and follow me. And they did that. And those are the people that created the movement that we are a part of today, the church. It's those people. So how did they go from ordinary, average, working people to church leaders? Well, they were taught by Jesus. And if you read the Gospels, it's not really that Jesus is in there just giving sermons and talking about theology and what you should think. It's that he's teaching his disciples how to live. That's the primary thing that the Gospels is about. And it's the reason why they were so successful at starting a movement centered on the love of Jesus. Because they were taught how to do it. And there's a guy in the Bible named Timothy who was a leader in the church. And his mentor, or his spiritual sponsor, or whatever you'd like to call that, was Paul. Paul wrote a large portion of the Bible, 13 books. And Paul wrote two of them in the New Testament to Timothy, this dude who was leading this church. And in those two, he talks about teaching like 4 or 5 times. That's how important it was to Paul that Timothy understand from him why teaching is important and how to teach his congregation how to live out their faith. This is what he says to him. This is the first thing that we ever have of Paul writing to Timothy. And what does he talk about? He talks about teaching. So if you would, turn with me, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. And if you want to follow along, you can on your phones or in your Bibles, but it'll be on the screen in the New Living Translation. I think it's just so interesting that Paul kicks off his letter like this. In verse 3, it says, when I left for Macedonia, I urged you to stay there in Ephesus and stop those whose teaching is contrary to the truth. Don't let them waste their time in endless discussions of myths and spiritual pedigrees. These things only lead to meaningless speculations which don't help people live a life of faith in God. Verse 5, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith. But some people have missed this whole point, and they have turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions. They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they're talking about, even though they speak so confidently. And you may be like, well, okay, what does this apply? I think this applies so much to our current situation. Because we have the internet. We have so much teaching out there. So many people saying, you know, I have the answers. Here I am. You should listen to me. Listen to my opinions on the Bible, on Christianity. And we need to be careful because I think as the church, we choose the wrong things to focus on a lot of times. We choose the wrong things. We would rather make sure that you believe what we think you should believe rather than to learn how to live a life of love. And I really wonder if the church would have taken all that energy it puts out talking about what we think about homosexuality, talking about what we think about abortion, talking about what we think about the Bible, talking about what we think about this and that. If we took that energy and applied it to teaching people how to love, I wonder what our churches would look like. I wonder what our communities would look like. And that's what Paul's getting at here, is that so often it's so much easier to talk about controversial stuff rather than to learn how to love. It's easier to fight about who's right because it's more fun. It's way more fun to win an argument than it is to tell people, let's go out in Trotwood and help people out and show people how to love. It's way easier than that. It's way easier. And I worry for the church. I fear for the church because I look at my friends who aren't here. And you know why they're not here? Because someone told them, if you don't believe that the Bible is 100% scientifically and historically accurate, you're not a Christian. I got a person right now who's in an old church of mine who's telling people that. Does it say that anywhere in here? No. Has anyone in the past, like for 1900 years, ever said that? No. But now that's a qualification for faith? And there are people who are being kept away from Jesus because we are putting extra rules and extra stuff in the way and saying, you have to believe like we do. You should think like we do. Paul is telling Timothy here, that's a secondary thing. Talk about that after church. Focus on teaching people how to love. Focus on teaching people how to live out their faith. And so today I want to give you three questions for the people in your life who are teaching you. And first, let me just encourage you, if you don't have someone in your life teaching you or helping you understand how to live a life of faith, get one. Like, it's so cool to see people in recovery because they are so much more spiritually developed because they work through stuff with their sponsor. And we need that as Christians. We need to be like, okay, how do I love people? How do I show this thing that God is calling me to show? That's what's important. And there's three questions that I think you should ask before deciding whether or not to take someone's direction. And you should apply this to me. You should apply this to everyone on staff here. And the first thing is do they look like Jesus? Do they teach like Jesus? Or do they live like Jesus? Those are the three questions I want you to ask. Because if they don't fall into some of those, they're not going to help you follow Jesus. If you're here and you're like, I want to follow Christ, but we're up here telling you what we think about this verse and that verse and telling you what to think on certain issues before we tell you about Jesus, we've got it all backwards. We're not going to help you get to your destination. And so I encourage you, because there are people out there who say, I'm going to help you live a life of faith, but they don't look like Jesus. Check out this Instagram account that I really enjoy. It's called Preachers in Sneakers. And I don't want you to get me wrong. This is the Instagram account. You can find it. It's out there. It's very, very funny to me. Show that next picture, Steve. Thank you. Look at these shoes right here. This is a pastor and he's on here multiple times with multiple different shoes. This isn't like his Sunday shoes. These are like 1 week of his shoes, okay? $1,000. Now, when I read about Jesus, it's not that Jesus doesn't want you to look stylish, folks. It's not that. It's that, like, if you have a shoe collection that's worth more than most of your congregants' cars, that's not Jesus, okay? The Bible says that Jesus was unattractive, that he was not this person who was super fashionable, the cream of the crop. No, Jesus was a homeless guy. And if someone's telling you, yo, I'm going to help you follow Jesus, but they don't look like him, maybe they're not going to help you follow Jesus, really. So if the people you are listening to, they don't look like Jesus, they may not help you follow Jesus. And that second thing, do they teach like Jesus? Do they say the things that Jesus says? Or are they off talking about something else? Because if they don't talk about and care about the things that Jesus cares about, you're not going to be able to live the things that Jesus lived out. If they're not telling you how to love your enemies at work, then they're not helping you live a life of faith. And if we're not doing that, first of all, tell us. We want to change. And second of all, leave. Because if we're not going to help you follow Christ, then you might as well do something else with your time this morning. You know what I'm saying? Because you can figure out your opinions on the scriptures on your own. You don't need me to tell you that. What we are here to do and what we need help with a lot of times is how do we love people? How do we live out a life that looks like Jesus? And this third question, do they live like Jesus? Do you, the people that you're listening to, do they live a life that resembles the Jesus that they're telling you to follow? Check out this verse in James, because I think it just applies to our situation right now in Dayton. James 2:14. It says, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. And so this is what I'm talking about, folks. Faith cannot take you anywhere unless you're being taught how to live it out. If I tell you what to believe, if I tell you to believe in Jesus and trust him, but I don't help you love people like Jesus loved people, what good is that? What does that do? And my point in all of this is not to say that talking about what's controversial or thinking about issues or caring about theology, that doesn't matter, but it's secondary. And that's what Paul is talking about, that if we do not get a teaching that helps us live out our faith in action, then it's going to get in the way of people coming to Christ. And so I encourage you, wherever you're at, we have a Next Steps class going on. There are people in there who have been in the faith for 20 years. There have been the people in the faith who've been there for 2 months. Because we're all on this road trip together. We're all on this journey together. We're all trying to figure out, how do we live a good life? How do we follow Jesus? And we can't do that without each other. We can't do that without good teaching. So find a podcast. Find a good speaker on YouTube. But make sure that they live and look like Jesus. Because if not, they're not going to help you get to your destination. And do the same thing for me. I'm not excused from this. If I'm just telling you a bunch of my opinions, have them kick me out. Because it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And we have a great teacher and mentor here named Chris Jackson, who has helped a lot of us out, has helped a lot of us learn. And a time like this, where we need to put our faith into action and love our neighbors, I'm so grateful that I live in a city that does that, and I'm a part of a church that practices that. Thank you guys so much for that. We just want to come up and pray over our communities and our cities, Brookville, Beaver Creek, Riverside, Northridge, Trotwood. We want to come together and put our faith into action and pray for these cities. And I'd like Chris to do that. So if you would, come forward. We'll have Chris pray. We want to just shower our community in prayer. So come forward, please, if you would, and join us.
Heavenly Father, we do come before you right now. And the first thing that's upon my heart is to recognize the truth that you've been giving us through Ashton's message today, Pastor Ashton's message. And we as your people need to be lovers of truth, and I want to pray that you would help us to be people who love your truth, that we are restless until we understand and know that we have received your truth from you. Truth that comes from you is one that leads us into understanding, it leads us into knowledge, it leads us into wisdom, and it leads us into love. It leads us into peace in our own lives, and it leads us into the power that you want us to practice and live within to help other people's lives too, and for people to come to know you. It is important that we be a people of truth and that we would love your truth. And I just pray that you would help us, Lord, to embrace that aspect of the message that you've brought forward to us today through Pastor Ashton. And we're thankful for his obedience. And Father, we come before you in a week in which our community has been ravaged by storms. And I believe with all my heart that Satan would love to take this opportunity to destroy people through this challenging and difficult time. But Lord, we gather together here today and we pray that just as Ashton said, you are a God who can take things that are challenging and terrible and tragic and turn them into things that are good. And Lord, we want to pray that you would, in every opportunity, in every case that you can, through us and through the other believers in our community, to turn this situation into something that's good, and that you would see us through this. Lord, we want to thank you that you showed us mercy, because when we see the results of what could have happened in this storm, so much life was preserved, and I believe that you were kind and gracious and merciful to us. And Lord, now we have an opportunity to even move further to show love to others and help them as they've been impacted by this. Lord, we want to pray for the various communities that are part of the greater Dayton area. Lord, we know that Brookville was hit hard, that Trotwood was hit hard, that Englewood was hit. Someone was telling me about Salina. I didn't even fully know about that situation. I've been and seen Beaver Creek and Riverside, and if there's one that I'm forgetting, name it, yell it out before the Lord right now. Lord, the people in these communities, they've been shocked. And there are some, Lord, that are trusting in you and looking to you, and there are others that have no clue as what to do. And these are the people, Lord, we want to draw alongside with and show them that trusting in you and believing in you is a great help in times like this. But we also, Lord, want to practice what it is that you have put within us. And to sacrifice for them and to give to them and to help them in practical ways that they would never expect people would just do. And Father, I want to pray, I didn't pray in the first service, but I want to pray in this one that Dayton doesn't end up getting back to the way it was. But it becomes something even stronger and better and a greater community of where goodness moves through it, Lord. We don't want that. What we had, Lord, we want something better.
Yes,
Lord. And I believe with all my heart that you can take the situation and turn it into something better. Heavenly Father, there are those within our church community here that have been impacted by this. Chris and Lori Lehman and their family, their house has been damaged by the winds and the trees that fell. And Father, we just want to pray that you would provide for them in every way to restore them, and that this church would know what it is that we need to do to support them and care for them. And what we can't do, Lord, we pray that you would provide in every way. And there would be restoration in full, but also an advancement of their faith by how they experience you during this time. I know of another family, they have a rental property that was damaged by the storm. And Lord, we just pray that not only you would help them in the recovery, but the family that's living in that rental property, Lord. And there are others that may still be impacted by the electricity and the lack of water. And Lord, we want to pray for those in our community who are restoring the power and restoring the water services, Lord, that you would help them and aid them. And Lord, in every way that you want to call us to just step out and get out of our comfort zone and interact with people that we would have never interacted with otherwise, but somehow join into the brotherhood of humanity and express the beautiful God-given light that you have put within us. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us to see the opportunities that are around us and to take advantage of them to the glory of your name. Lord, we put all of this into your hands and your care. And I pray that you would make us a stronger church as a result of everything that is happening here as well. And we ask and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.